Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
So here's a question for you out there. How many of you would like to talk to someone that has passed over to the other side, talking to heaven, asking all of the questions that you ever had about life after death? I didn't even realize that I wanted to know a lot of questions, but I did. And the man that helped me answer many of those questions through his book was Jeffrey Marks. And his book is The Afterlife Interviews, Volume 1. Volume 2 will be forthcoming. But Volume 1 involves talking to 14 people. Am I right? Did I get the right? Welcome, Jeffrey. Did I get the number right? Yeah. 14 people?
Yes,
14 people. Different ages, different ways that they passed away, different religions, and asking them about their experience on the other side. And Jeffrey can do that because he is a medium, which means what? What do you do, Jeffrey? What do mediums do, and how are you able to have this incredible ability to talk to dead people? And I said, yes, dead people. Jeffrey can talk to dead people.
Yes, I talk to dead people. as a medium, I work to become aware of the different energies that spirit can reside on and hopefully be able to get those messages to come through, because we are all energy, and the energy of our beings, it just doesn't dissipate when we die. It just transitions into a different frequency or vibration. Mm-hmm. So as a medium, I attempt to harmonize my energy to a frequency that is parallel or in tune with those who have moved into that other environment of spirit. So now, if I've done my job correctly, my energy and the energy of those in the spirit realm will be in sync. And they're working to get in sync with me too. Because when we get in sync, you know, we're in harmony, which allows for their messages to get through and impress my consciousness. And then, of course, your next question is, well, how do those messages get through?
Did you read my mind to get that?
Yes. No. I mean, it's a logical question.
And yes. How do they get through?
Yeah. Well, there are several different ways, but ultimately they are all energy-based in their interactions, which is really not that much different from how our own physical senses work, because the way we see, hear, and feel things in the physical world is through a process known as transduction. Mm-hmm. Where our physical senses get stimulated from this, you know, outside environment stuff. And that stimulation then gets transduced into an electrical signal, which then gets processed and decoded inside of the brain, creating the images and sounds and feelings that we experience. So it's really quite the same with spirit communication, in that the energy is being processed through my organism and then decoded by my mind. The source of the energy just happens to be the energy of another personality or mind blending with my own and creating packets of information in my mind and communication processes through those means.
Right. So then in order to be a clear medium so that you're actually processing what has been sent, it seems like there's two pieces of it, right? One, the person on the other side has to be sending and tuning into your frequency and harmonizing with it, and you have to be doing the same. So it seems like there are lots of different potentialities for...
Oh, yeah. There are so many variables going on, because it all has to do with the energy. And so there's your energy... there's the energy of the spirit. And believe it or not, your sitter, your client, also contributes to that whole makeup.
Yeah, and so people who are not familiar with it. So a sitter is someone who says, Jeffrey, I want to talk to my dead husband.
Correct.
So that's a client, and they come in and they're sitting there while you're tuning into the energy of their loved one.
Yes.
Is that what you meant? Okay, good.
That's correct. And most mediums would say that they would get through to the other side going through the sitter, going through the client. So they would first tap into their sitter, and then then they would blend with that energy, and then the medium would then raise his or her vibration to the level of the spirit realm, and then simultaneously the spirit is also trying to lower his or her vibration, and the two of you sort of meet in the middle.
Right. So there are three variables now. There's you, the sitter, and this other person. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So it becomes very, very tricky. And this is why you will find most mediums are female, because women are better at multitasking in those types of environments.
That's too funny. Their brain is more apt to, like, okay, I'm going to tune into her and tune into myself and tune into this energy and do so. Wow. Because there is a lot of multitasking going on.
Yeah, there is. It's not, I'll be the first to say it's not always easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does one harmonize with the energy? How do you get there?
Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah. So is it an experiential feeling sense that you know? Or, like, so you talked to these 14 people. How did you know, in fact, that you were talking to them, or you were tuning into your sitter's energy and tuning into what their memory of them is? How do you know what you're tuning into and that you're getting accurate responses?
Well, every spirit has their own, you know, you can watch, let me see how the best way to put this is. Every personality has a unique feel to it. Mm-hmm. And the same is with spirits, communicating with spirits as well. Every spirit has their own feel. Mm-hmm. And that feel is oftentimes radically different than the feel of your sitter in the chair. Now, how do I know whether or not communication is happening is solely based on the information that comes through that spirit is giving me that my client or my sitter can validate.
Mm-hmm.
So if spirit is telling me, first of all, I am this person's grandmother and I passed with these sort of conditions going on in my body. Oh, and by the way, there's a significant event in the month of September. If I'm relaying this stuff and my sitter is saying yes, 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 that's validation that for me, that's validation that communication is happening, because I'm feeling it and I'm getting the information and I'm passing it along.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at that point. And the more you do this kind of work, too, the more you realize that if you are getting something psychically with your client, it comes through differently than what information from spirit.
So you really have to be pretty tuned in, because you have to be able to tune into your own energy and know what that feels like, tune into the client, sitter's energy, know what that feels like, and then know that there's some other energy that's different than those two
things.
And it
just takes practice. I mean, really, that's the more you do it, the more you start to recognize where the energy is coming from, how the differences feel, and how it processes. So
interesting.
And then you'll get some of those clients that, because it's their energy contributes to it, if their energy is not grounded and really way out there, it can really throw the reading for a big loop.
right, because if they're the kind of intermediary, so to speak, if they're kind of an imprecise channel or they're not grounded, then the whole thing probably feels a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, as a medium, you can logically not tune into your sitter's energy and try to bypass that and go straight to spirit. But, it's still, as a human being, you just have this inclination of wanting to connect with the person that you're with.
Right.
So it's very hard to do that. You know, I think that's why some people really prefer to do readings over the phone, per se, because they don't necessarily have to connect in that manner. So it may actually...
Oh, I see. If you don't have a sitter sitting there, then you can literally just connect to make a direct connection.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's kind of like 1 or 2 degrees separation there. You don't necessarily have to be so aware of your sitter's energy and be more aware of what is coming through with spirit.
Fascinating. So when you did this, when you wrote your book, The Afterlife Interviews, or Volume 1, and you're conducting the research for it, as I understand it, you got a whole bunch of validated facts so that you knew, in fact, that you were talking to someone on the other side. Is that, and how many, and I can't remember, how many pieces of validation did you get? And give us an example. And we have one more minute, but give us quickly an example of the kind of things you did to validate that you really were talking to folks.
Well, just like what I said, give me medical conditions, give me names, give me dates, give me shared memories, anything that could be validated to prove that a connection was happening. And I wanted at least 8 to 10 of those data points before we even started asking the questions. Mm-hmm. And honestly, a couple sitters did not make it to the questions because I just didn't feel the data was strong enough.
Yeah. All right. So you guys have to just stay tuned, because now in the next segment, we are going to talk to Jeffrey Marks about what the contents and 52 questions that he asked these people that had these 14 dead people. What he asked these 14 dead people. And some of them are really interesting. Like, do you have sex up there in heaven or wherever you guys are? Which I thought was like, why did Jeffrey think of this? But I think I kind of wanted to know. I didn't even know I wanted to know until that. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Make sure to friend us on Facebook and to get a listing of all our upcoming shows. We'll be right back.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed 3 dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck! Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. To get your free copy now, that's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
So I'm pondering death. Oh, how pleasant is that as an opening? All right, here's what I'm wondering. And my questions were all answered. So do you have sex when you cross over to the other side? What do you look like? Do I look like my 20-year-old version of myself but have the wisdom of my 50-year-old version of myself? Am I brighter? Am I smarter? Am I evolving? What happens when I go to the other side? And today we have author Jeffrey Marks, author of The Afterlife Interviews, Volume 1, in which he interviewed 14 people, asked 52 questions, of which a subset of those questions are in his book, The Afterlife Interviews, Volume 1. And he is going to share with us some of what he found. Welcome back, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
So what were your major aha's when you actually went through and asked these questions?
Aside from the aha that, oh my gosh, I could actually do this for 2.5 and 3 hours and they're willing to respond.
Wait a second. You talked to each of these people for 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah. Each sitting lasted anywhere from 2.5 to 3 hours. And yeah, it was that in itself was incredible.
Now, has anyone ever done this before? Like, you know, James von Prague and that John Holland, or have they ever done? Is this like a unique thing to Jeffrey Marks? Have they ever done stuff like this?
As far as I know, they have not done this type of research. The books that the other mediums have written have all dealt with, you know, healing grief and showing that, you know, the relationship and the love that people have does not disappear when somebody passes away. They don't necessarily address what life is like on the other side, although it can be inferred based on the nature of the reading. But I don't think anybody has actually sat down with a client, got connected to their loved one in spirit and said, okay, I'm now going to interview you, spirit, with just what is waiting for us on the other side. I don't think anybody had done that before. So I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to devise these questions and I'm going to get these answers and just see what happens.
Now, with these 14 people, were they like, why are you even asking me this? Why aren't you just like having me talk to my loved one like all the other guys do or all the other mediums do? Were they surprised? Well, I mean, what was the reaction?
Well, they actually knew it was a research project. I went out and I advertised looking for volunteers for this, stating that it was a research project. This is what the research is, and this is what my ultimate goal with the findings are, you know, are supposed to be. So they knew coming in that this is how it was going to be.
Yeah, no, but you didn't talk to the dead people and get their permission, right? Like, maybe the dead person directly. I don't know.
You just kind of assume that if the because spirit oftentimes, because they are outside time and space, will kind of know in advance what our intentions are.
Oh,
so you just have faith that when you sit down in that chair and you make that link and you get the validations that you're communicating, that they know what they're in for.
Yeah. It's so funny. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your ahas again. Sorry, reverse back to the first question.
My aha moments were really in realizing that the new environment yields, when I say new environment, the other side, yields a whole different perspective of yourself and your capabilities, you know, what's possible within your consciousness. I mean, you really do not change so much of who you are. I mean, your personality does remain intact. I mean, if you didn't like, you know, let's say if you were an oddball person, you didn't like chocolate, chances are probably still good that you're not going to like chocolate on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not, and you're also not given keys to universal wisdom, but you are given these new perceptions. I mean, new environment really brings in new perceptions because it's all about experience, expression, and learning. And in many ways, you know, that's kind of what we're doing here on Earth. But the new environment with different quote-unquote physical laws, shall we say, if we're going to apply that sort of terminology, present new insights to your character, to life, and to growth. I mean, you don't stop growing on the other side.
Yeah, so you actually have a different perspective. Literally, you're moving from a different perspective. It's what in NLP they call it the meta perspective. You're floating above some version of yourself here on Earth, and looking at yourself, going, "Wow, that's so cool. There's me."
Yes.
And now I can see myself from a different thing. And what I thought was interesting is the whole idea. And I've now read a couple of spiritual books of a life plan where you literally go through. And you experience, you do like a life review of what you did here on Earth and an experience. Is that right? A life plan?
Yes. Yes. The life review. Yeah. Yeah.
And that seemed to be the biggest perspective shifter, right? Because you can kind of see your actions and how they had the ripple effect on those people that you interacted with day in, day out. I assume it's like that Christmas movie with Jimmy Stewart, like that.
Yeah, actually,
but
that's a very good analogy. Very good analogy. Yes.
Yeah, but is it like a good and bad? Like, do you just feel all the goodness and the bad, or is it a neutral thing? Do you have a sense of that when you do the life plan?
My sense of that is you see everything. So it's not neutral by any means. You do feel the pains, but you also do feel the highs.
Yeah.
And you,
so it's
and
like
you
Ghost Rider. It's Ghost Rider meets Jimmy Stewart. You feel all the pains and emotional pains that you cause, and then you feel all the goodness too. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That seems like a balanced good thing. I'm in for that. what do you say to folks that, you know, a lot of people, you know, in contemplating this, people would probably kind of like half fear and half want to know the answers, mostly because I think people fear death. Now, when you went through this research, did it change your perspective and your fear? I don't know if you had fear of death. If you did have any, did it change?
Well, since I've been doing mediumship for about 13 years, I don't necessarily fear death, but I still do have apprehension. And I've thought about that. And I'm kind of like, well, what am I apprehensive about? And then I came to realize it's my attachments. Because, you know, we have built attachments to Earth, to the people that, you know, because when I die, I think what I'm apprehensive about is, first of all, the people I'm going to leave behind, because chances are they're going to have a harder time connecting with me. I mean, it's going to be hard for me to connect back with them. I'm going to miss that. The other thing too, and this sounds really superficial, but you know, it's true though, are my things, my stuff, you know, I mean, it sounds so superficial, but you know what? I love to write. So I love clicking on my keyboard pad and all that. I was going to say typewriter and really date myself, but you know, there's those things that made your life pleasant, they had value, and when you pass, well, obviously you can't bring that stuff with you, and so that's where the apprehension comes from. You know, that's
but
not
why serious. Not? Why can't I bring my iPhone up there?
Yeah, really.
That's not seriously. To say there
isn't, yeah, that's not to say there isn't something better waiting for you, but when you're on this side of things, you really don't know. I mean, you really don't know.
Yeah, so there's no, so I go up there, no iPhone, no lattes, no Pilates. Like, is that what am I in store for? I don't want to go.
Actually, the thing is there might be that stuff, and it might be in a really super cool fashion that does not currently exist on Earth. But until you get over there and experience that, you know, you at that point you just have to have faith. But you are still, you know, you still have your attachments to things back here.
Right, I can see that. Okay, got it. So that's for you. That's what it was. But what when you talk to a lot of other people, what do you think they're so? For, because you were a medium for 13 years, you didn't have as much fear about death. But do you think that what's your hope when people read your book? How do you hope that their perceptions will shift about death and their fear will change?
I hope it brings inspiration and hope. That there is something waiting for us when we go, that life does continue on. Having done this for so long, I know you cannot prove it. I don't think there's any, you cannot prove it. The best you can do is supply as much data and evidence as possible that is suggestive of the possibility. That's the best we can do. And it ends up being an individual perception, a choice to say subjectively within oneself, I think this has merit, I think this has value, and hence there's a possibility. That's really all I'm doing, is just offering possibilities. You can take it or leave it, and it doesn't matter to me one way or the other, just so long as I feel I am contributing and hopefully inspiring people to what possibilities may exist.
And I think you do, because after reading the book, for me, the possibility, and I think if you think of a positive possibility after you die, I think what that does is it makes you change the way that you live. Do you know what I mean? Because I think we spend a lot of time and energy focusing on our fear of death. So
yes.
If we don't fear death, then that means we can just enjoy living life. Does that make
sense?
It
definitely can change your, not just your outlook, but your behavior. And that just opens up so many different doors.
Yeah, I'm going to go skydiving right after this show. And eat that dangerous sushi fish, you know, the kind that you might die.
The puffer fish, yes.
Exactly. I'm going to eat a puffer fish and then jump out of a plane, because why not? All right, folks. We have Jeffrey Marks, author of the Afterlife Interviews. And in the next segment, we're going to be talking about Jeffrey's work, working with ghosts. He is an official Ghostbuster, and we're going to find out all about it. Make sure to join us for the adventure and continued fun by subscribing to a weekly subscription to Fire It Up with CJ Show on iTunes. And we will be right back.
Show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina is energizing people everywhere to rise to the occasion of their lives. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you feel that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Let Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina help you to step into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Co-host Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz invite you to join them every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, and rise to the occasion of your life.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com. Yes, yes, it's Ghostbusters, and we have our official Ghostbuster, Jeffrey Medium, author of the book, The Afterlife Interviews, and a professional Ghostbuster. How long have you been doing, welcome back, Jeffrey, how long have you been being a Ghostbuster?
Actually, I'm just going to real politely correct you.
Oh, okay.
I call it ghost research.
I don't do
any kind of busting.
I guess in that show, what they're doing is like removing haunted entities from places.
Yeah.
Right? So you're just. But of course, what you do instead when you talk to dead people and ghosts is you're like, "Hey, I want to talk to you and do some market research."
Yes. I've been working with the Washington State Ghost Society since 2006. So I'm going on my. It's my seventh year in February.
So what do people in the Ghost Society do? Are they all interviewing? What do you do as part of a Ghost Society?
Well, we come in with the equipment. We'll come in with the night vision cameras, the EMF detectors, various gauges and devices and voice recorders. And we will document the environment to see if there is paranormal phenomena there. And we also use mediums like myself. But the difference between us and I think other groups that are out there is we don't go in there to try to validate or prove whether or not there's phenomena. I mean, yes, we do that. But once we have ascertained that there is something there, we're not antagonizing it or trying to push it on. We are actually go into research mode where we're like, okay, now what can you tell us about your existence and how you do things, how you're interacting with us. What can you tell us about what life is like as a ghost? Why are you, I mean, yes, we try to answer why are you here, but we try to go the next step as well. For instance, we're trying to find out how do you manipulate the EMF detector? How does your voice get on the voice recorder and give us an EVP?
Okay, so, that's something brand new to me when I talked to you about this before, but probably to everyone. What is an EMF recorder? What does it do? How does it work? How do ghosts use it?
Well, EMF detector or EVP?
Yes, or whatever. What are all these different equipments? everyone around here is like, oh, yes, EMF detector. Yes, I have one of those at home.
Well, that's electromagnetic field detector. Because there's a theory out there that spirit energy is electromagnetic in its properties. And that given you put a detector out there, the spirit has the possibility of affecting the device and giving you a reading. Okay, got it. An EVP is electronic voice phenomena. This is where you're walking around and you've got your voice recorder on during the investigation. You don't hear anything with your ears, but when you play back the recorder, you've got a voice on there that shouldn't be there, you know? So that's what an EVP is.
Now, that's crazy. Now, what is a voice like? Is a voice like, hey, I've been here all along? Like, what is a voice play it?
Actually, we have, and I think most groups do this, we have EVP sessions. But one of the type of sessions we have, aside from the typical normal EVP session, which is who are you, why are you here, that sort of thing, we'll go into certain other questions such as, are you affected by the passing of time? How did you know we were coming, or did you know we were coming? How do you manipulate the EMF gear? You know, and we'll see what kind of answers we get because we have had spirits respond.
Wow. Okay, got it. So you'll be playing back, and then you'll hear a I know this is so stupid, but can you imitate what a voice sounds like?
actually, it can sound just like me. Seriously.
You're kidding me. That loud? It's not like, yes. Hello.
We have like grades. We actually grade the EVPs because some of them can be really in the background and it's like a whisper. Some of them can be muddied up in the surrounding noise. But there are some, the A-plus quality EVPs, that are exactly like you and me talking to each other right now. And we've got some
Cronkite ones.
Yes.
The ones that perfected their speaking across the mic.
There's one EVP that I have that is an A-plus EVP where the spirit talks right on my microphone. He goes, can anybody see me? You know, it's a fabulous EVP.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I want to find out the life of a ghost. So tell – you've asked all sorts of questions. Do a high-level summary about, like, what is it like as the life of a ghost? What did you find out?
Well, spirits who are earthbound are different than spirits who have crossed to the other side. Their energy frequency is a little bit slower. And what's been interesting for me is spirits on the other side – because of that new perspective, have a whole different view about themselves and their potentials and possibilities. Mm-hmm. Earthbound spirits, for some reason, don't necessarily have that different perspective. They still run very much from an egocentric mind. And just haven't had that different switch or something happen inside their consciousness to open up certain possibilities that those on the other side recognize.
So was it a choice? Did they say like, yeah, they asked me to go up there, but I don't want to? Like what?
some of them, for earthbounds, they usually, it's always a choice, but typically for an earthbound, they, for one reason or another, just refuse to go. And there could be many different reasons why.
I think it's the iPhone. They're like, I want to stay for my iPhone.
It could absolutely be for the iPhone. They're trying to get through to the iPhone and find a way to get you an EVP on that.
Okay, so I see. So they have a choice. You can either go up, stay here in the middle, but you can't go back down there. So they decide to stay in this middle place. And what is life like?
Well, we don't have all the answers to what life is like, but what we do know is that they are not affected by the passing of time. Some of them recognize that time is more like a wheel, and they're at the hub of that wheel. Hmm. We also know that they don't necessarily see our environment as clearly as you and I see it, that they sometimes, that there's some kind of filtering happening inside their processes in terms of how to visualize and stuff. So there is a degree of separation.
Is that why they're making all those bumping and creaking noises? Because they're just bumping into walls because they don't see them? Like, what is that? Why? Does this explain everything?
No, not necessarily. What we discover when it comes to bumping into walls or actually interacting with our physical environment here, it is usually because they are wanting to get some kind of a message across. And know that message is, I want to scare the bejesus out of you. It's usually not that at all.
Then what is their purpose? So should we be conscious of what they're like? So my mom said after her brother died that there is a tea set that he gave her. And all of a sudden it was like thrust on the floor. She's like, what is this tea set being thrust on the floor for? Because it didn't seem like it was on the teetering on the edge. It was just she came back out of her bedroom after the evening and woke up the next morning. And the tea set was on the floor and she couldn't figure it out. But like, how do they communicate to us? What are they trying to communicate? How do they do it?
Well, in the case of your mother, it was probably, what did you say, it was her brother?
Yeah.
It was probably her brother trying to say, I am here, I am okay, I am fine. The other thing we've discovered is when it comes to moving objects and things like that, they don't necessarily have it down to a fine-tooth comb. Some spirits do not know how to do it. Some spirits do, but they don't necessarily know just how the mechanics work. For instance, there's a place that we've investigated where a spirit could very gently open a door, but did not know how to close it properly. So when the person would walk through the door would actually slam really hard behind them. It wasn't because the spirit was trying to scare the holy bejesus out of them. It was because they did not know how to manipulate the energy properly to adjust it, to close it better. I mean, I know that sounds weird, wacky, and crazy. I mean, if you can open it gently, why can't you close it gently? But you're dealing with a lot of variables when it comes to messing with energy, especially in between realms that, you know, you may kind of over-concentrate or overcompensate. We don't know. But, you know, there's a task going on. And we've been told through EVPs that it's a learned ability. It's a learned ability. It's not just something that naturally happens to you when you pass over that you're able to just move something. I mean, remember Patrick Swayze in Ghost? How he had to learn to move things? I get the impression it's like that.
Interesting. So why haven't these people crossed? I mean, why, when you ask them, why haven't they crossed and they've chosen to stay here? You said they usually have a message. Is there any commonality on the types of things, or is there any trending that you see?
The trend why most spirits don't cross is they're afraid of being judged.
They are
afraid that they are going to run into somebody that they had an issue with while they were here, or the big judgment, you know, where they're going to be standing in front of God, and they're going to, because they know what they did in their life. They know what they, you know, and so they're afraid that it's going to come back to haunt them.
And
so you really have to be very gentle when you coax them along.
I see, because they're scared that they're going to some awful place, and so and then the life review that you talk about, they just don't want to be judged in part of the life review.
They may not even know a life review is imminent. They just have a philosophy that states, "I know I'm going to be in trouble," so they want to avoid that.
If only they could buy your book, then they would know what to expect. They need to manipulate Amazon to send them to the middle level. All right. Thank you, Jeffrey Marks. This is so fascinating. And in the next, we're going to be talking about how you can start creating a connection to your loved ones and a little bit more about how we know when our loved ones are communicating with us. Make sure to listen to all the Fire It Up with CJ shows that you can get and on www.fireitupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. or dial 415-235-2807.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
So, what is evil? Are there negative aspects that are as powerful as the positive ones? And can they have form and shape, such as demons? This was the question that Jeffrey Marks, our author here today of the Afterlife Interviews Volume 1, asked 14 people that have passed over to the other side. And welcome back, Jeffrey. What was their answer to this question?
The answer to that question is evil is really nothing more than a bunch of little school children running around out on the playground biting and gnawing at each other because they just don't know any better.
What?
Honestly, that was how one of the answers was given to me. The nature of evil, really what it boils down to, is knowledge versus ignorance. Mm. Do they really know how their thinking and behavior affects other people? Do they really know that they are connected and one with all of life in the universe? Evil really is, you know, evil is live spelled backwards because it is a backward way of being because they just don't know. Evil ends up really being just someone who is ignorant of their potentials, their potentiality, how their energy propagates, how it affects other people. And when you don't know that, when you don't know how connected you are and you don't know how your energy propagates and balloons out, you can be prone to having really bad behavior, you know, just like a kid. I mean, I remember once the one spirit who was giving it to me, like children in the playground, she kept saying, "Stupid little kids, stupid little kids." And ultimately, that's what it turned out being. In regard to can they take form and shape such as demons, because a lot of people, at least in the paranormal community, will talk about seeing these things. Mm-hmm. Actually, the answer I got was yes, they can take that shape. But there's two different reasons why. If you're having it in a paranormal experience, it's quite possible that the spirit who is tormenting you knows our psychology when it comes to demons and knows what kind of an effect that's going to have on you. So it knows to make its appearance look that way, and it can do that. The other reason, though, which to me is far more fascinating, is when a spirit crosses, gets to the other side, has the life review, and ends up being the ultimate judge of their own experience, really ends up tormenting themselves for what they on Earth. And they will put themselves into a kind of purgatory or a kind of personal hell. And again, it's a form of shame. I mean, it's a form of shaming themselves. And some of them, at least from what I was told, will actually kind of, in a sense, alter their appearance to let others know that they are not, quote-unquote, right, that they've got issues, that they've got problems, that they don't find beauty in themselves. And when you don't find beauty in yourself, how could you ever project that as an image outward?
Right. It's like it's like brandishing yourself with the Scarlet A so that you know that, like, I'm dangerous. And so what realm are these demons in? Are they in this middle realm or they could be in any realm?
Well, actually, it's the way energy works, because we all are on a frequency wavelength, you know, and depending on where you are at in terms of your wisdom, your knowledge, your frequency will determine what your environment is like.
Hmm.
So, you know, because like attracts like. And so you cannot ride a bike until you learn with the training wheels, right? So you can't exist in a higher realm, so to speak, because your energy doesn't vibrate at that frequency. So you will be in an environment at which your frequency vibrates at. That doesn't mean you're stuck there. It doesn't mean you're imprisoned there. It doesn't mean you're being tormented there. It just means this is the level that you exist. This is the environment that you're in based on your frequency. And like anything, you will progress. You will evolve. And you will grow out of that and into the next vibrational realm, whatever that is. So, you know, from what I took away from this, there is no separate place that has been cordoned off for evildoers.
Right. So it's not as if, it's just that there's vibrational energies of like attract like. So I will be there with lizards, snakes, dark things, whatever. But I also could actually opt to go, I'm of a higher vibration, I'm evolving, and I'm going to get out of this out of choice. Right. Because your vibration is your choice too, right? Just
right,
like you can choose to vibrate at a higher level. They've just chosen to put themselves in a self-imposed purgatory. Right.
And if it's based on knowledge, then all they need to do is to start having the experiences that will give them the knowledge to grow out of that vibration and into that higher vibration. And what was real fascinating for me was that there are higher ups, we'll say higher vibrational beings, that will come down into these lower vibrational realms to help move these people up. And what's real interesting is some of those high vibrational beings were at one time at this same lower vibration.
Yeah.
So let's say you've got a, you know, for, let's just say you have a mass murderer and he's down in this lower vibrational level. Here comes this higher up vibrational being down to help him out. That higher vibrational being could also have been a mass murderer in his experience.
But right, and that would make logical sense, right? Because they would truly understand what it would be to move to another level. Right, so they don't just leave you without any books or help. You're like, you're at a lower vibrational level. Good luck coming up here.
Yeah, screw you. You totally lost it. See ya. No, that doesn't happen.
They send light beings to go like, okay, I get it. Here's another way of looking at this. Now, will you come with me to the next level? It's more like that. Interesting. But is there a relationship between these demons and ghosts? I mean, where do these demons live? They could live anywhere, right? Because they're vibration.
Well, actually, let me just clarify. I don't personally believe that there is a separate force out there that can be labeled demon. To me, they're all people. Everything, it's all people. Now, when people have the ability to manipulate their energy and have awareness of that manipulation, they can change their shape. They can make these appearances, but they're still people. They still have personality. They still have psychology, emotions, all those variables and stuff that come with being a person.
Right. Yeah. They've just chosen to look, you know, scary. They could also look like, you know, Ben Affleck. You know, they could choose whatever form that they want.
And for some people, maybe Ben Affleck is a demon, but you know.
All right, so tell us about some of the promotional items that you have. So you have your website, so folks want to read your book, tell us everything that you're doing.
Everything that I'm doing. Well, right now the book is still on its special promotion. So if you go to www.afterlifeinterviews.com/launch, you can get a ton of free gifts and enter a drawing to win a potential a free 30-minute reading with me. You just buy the book on Amazon, go back to that website, plug your information in, and get entered into the drawing and also get other fabulous prizes and gifts. My website is www.spiritualexploration.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Jeffrey Marks Author. So please like me there. I'm just sort of starting out on the whole social networking thing. I'm a little behind the times on that.
No, I'm joining you. Like me too. Please like both of us.
Yes, like both of us. Like both of us. And for those people that are listening to the show and they're out here in the Pacific Northwest where I'm at, on Sunday, September 16th at 4 p.m. at the Snohomish County PUD building in Edmonds, I will be joined by two other mediums and we'll be doing a audience gallery reading. And more information about that can be found at www.eventbrite.com. Just do a search for Afterlife Messages.
You are a busy man. So, Jeffrey Marks, thank you so much for being here. I just
thank you so much for having me on.
Fun. That's our motto here. We like to have fun, make spirituality fun. So make sure, guys, to join us next week when we switch gears and we focus on back to school. Yay! Boo! Yay! Our guest, Melissa Broder, will share her research about picky eaters and how picky the science behind picky eaters. So we will see you next week and have a great weekend. Thanks again, Jeffrey, for being here.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.